content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. Serving our community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now it's time to open the cover in a brand new issue of Our State magazine. This cover is all pink. It says Our State, of course, celebrating North Carolina. February 2023, Carolina Candyland is the theme this month. A statewide tour of our sweetest spots. But we should start, as we always do, with the Welcome to Our State column called From Elizabeth. She titles it, appropriately enough, The Sweet Life. You could tell a season by what kind of sweets filled my grandmother's candy dish. The cut glass footed number that sat on her coffee table in the formal living room, catching the sunlight like a prism. In the spring, I remember lemon drops and soft buttermints and pastel pinks and greens. In the summer, she set out sour balls, tart and puckery, and multicolored jelly beans. In the winter for Christmas, the dish held chocolate starlight mints swirled with green. And in February, of course, those pink and purple and yellow candy conversation hearts imprinted with kiss me, be mine, and true love. In the pews at church, my grandmother slipped me Brack's cinnamon hard candies from her coat pocket, along with the whispered instruction to not open it until the organist started to play, so that the music would drown out the crinkling of the wrapper. And while I don't recall ever ordering dessert at a restaurant as a child, I do remember my grandfather buying those individually wrapped Andes mints from a box beside the cash register, 10 cents apiece, with his leftover change after he paid the bill. An elegant treat to eat in the car on the way home. For years, I saved those candy wrappers, smoothed them out with the heel of my hand, and pressed them into whatever book I was reading, the way you might a violet. Mementos of evenings out with my grandparents. The simplest souvenir. My dad had a sweet tooth. He favored the candies of his childhood, milk chocolate mallow cups, Zagnut bars, and I remember that my great-aunt Hazel always wrapped a box of Sella's chocolate-covered cherries for his birthday. At home, he kept candy tucked in all sorts of places, in the drawer of a table. In the den, he stored theater-sized boxes of raisinettes, nervously shaking out handfuls of the candy to eat during the Duke Carolina games on television. In the kitchen, he kept a pottery bowl filled with miniature Reese's peanut butter cups. He stockpiled Tootsie Roll Midgies in the glove compartment of his truck. And years later, long after that truck had been sold, in the center console of his Subaru. After my dad died and my mom cleaned out his car to sell, she discovered his little cache of candy in the console and laughed out loud. A welcome moment of relief amid her grief. The smallest pleasure. Recently, I was thrilled to learn that my mom had kept several of my grandmother's candy bowls, including that glass-cut one I remember so well. And the rediscovery of those heirlooms has inspired me to take up the tradition myself. I now fill the dish with Red Bird peppermint puffs and place it in the center of my dining room table. I can already see how the light catches the glass, a prism of joy, the sweetest delight. And now, as I do on the first reading of every month, I am going to interpret the pictorial in the center of our state magazine each month. This photo essay is entitled Carolina Candyland. From nostalgic treats in barrels at old-timey stores to brand new inventions shipped across the country, North Carolina candy creators and connoisseurs make life a little sweeter. Written by Katie King. There's a picture here of the state of North Carolina done in all different kinds of candies. And there's a few towns identified, and I guess what they're famous for. So we'll start on the Midwest section in Lexington. It says Red Bird Puffed Peppermints. Named for North Carolina's state bird, the cardinal, these soft, crumbly, melt-in-your-mouth mints have been made by Piedmont Candy Company since 1933, when founder Edwin Ebeline revived the brand from his previous business. Piedmont Candy remained in Ebeline's family until 1987, when another Tar Heel family took up the mantle of making the sweets. RedBirdCandies.com. And in Sanford, Boston Fruit Slices. These northern transplants moved to Sanford after being produced in Boston for seven decades. H.W. Powers Candy Company made the first jelly fruit slices in the country. And in 1984, an employee bought the product line and started Boston Fruit Slice. The candy is still handmade in small batches to look and taste like the slices of lemon, lime, orange, and other fruits. BostonFruitSlice.com. And in Nashville, Butterfield's Peach Buds. After nearly a century, Butterfield's sweet, sugar-coated peach buds are still a southern favorite. The hard candies, also available in other flavors, are handmade using vintage machinery, original recipes, and real fruit, including a sliver of coconut in the center of each uniquely shaped bud. ButterfieldCandies.com. And in Tarboro, Rusty's Peanut Brittle. Rusty Holderness's mother used to pour hot peanut brittle onto her marble countertop to cool, leaving the air bubbles intact to keep it light and crispy. Today, Holderness makes the nostalgic treat using North Carolina-grown peanuts the same way, using a recipe passed down from his grandmother's nurse, a World War II veteran. Rusty'sPeanutBrittle.com. Caption below the map says, a map made in heaven. North Carolina has its own versions of the gumdrop mountains, lollipop woods, and ice cream sea. And now, overleaf the candy factory in Lexington. Behind the iconic red and white awning on Main Street in Lexington, Wynn and Annette Conrad continue a tradition that began more than 40 years ago. In 1978, Robert Ebeline, the second-generation candy maker who owned Piedmont Candy Company along with his wife, Frances, set up a small shop on the company's property to sell his family's homemade fudge and peanut brittle. The next year, he bought and renovated the 1890 Lexington Hardware Building downtown and opened the candy factory. The Conrads took over from the Ebelwines, three daughters, in 2018. They keep wooden barrels and glass jars filled to the brim with treats of yesteryear, like rock candy, bottle caps, and, of course, Piedmont Candy's Red Bird Puffed Mints, plus the creamy homemade fudge that launched a legacy. LexingtonCandyFactory.com. And here's a close-up picture here of a piece of fudge with a lot of nuts in it. It says, Wynn and Arnett Conrad bought the candy factory from Jeanette Leonard, who was Annette's sixth-grade teacher. Leonard's father made the fudge when he started the business in 1978. Now Wynn makes it, including flavors like chocolate walnut. I couldn't think of the name of this particular nut. Yes, these are walnuts merged into the top of a delicious-looking piece of chocolate. Overleaf, a double-page spread. It says the well-worn wooden floors, baskets, and jars of old-fashioned candies and antique signs and collectibles around the candy factory transport customers to a bygone era. So this is a picture taken lengthwise. The walls, of course, are lined with shelves and all kinds of memorabilia like Dr. Pepper, posters and signs, and this looks like it says Drink RC and Orange Crush, Coca-Cola, Lexington Ice and Coal Company. Can't quite read this one. The angle is too bad. And then in the center is a very wide, it would seem, you know what it is? It's a set of raised table area surrounding the cash register. I think the cash register is in the middle of it. And now this one does say cashier self-service there. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I was going to say it's a pretty wide table surface here. But there are angled glasses, glass panels. So those would be for you to look down at the candies inside and perhaps point to somebody to say which ones you want. We might call those sneeze guards, perhaps. And in the front, there are baskets, and each one has a different kind of candy in it, but they're all wrapped up. They're not open as they might have been when we were kids, if you will. And then there's all kinds of things all over the place that you might expect to find in a store like this. Overleaf, Old North State Candy and Gifts in Thomasville. As a little girl, Donna Rogers often played in her grandmother's copper candy-making pot. Played in it? I guess that's what it says. Years later, after she bought a 110-year-old candy business in 2018, Donna and her team now use a similar pot, which in addition to a candy hook and batch roller, is original equipment from 1908 to make 47 flavors of hard candies. At Old North State Candy and Gifts in Thomasville, plus online and via wholesale, Donna and her daughter Cheyenne sell old-fashioned and freeze-dried sweets alongside fudge, nut brittles, and drop candies under the brand name Cheese Bros, Donna's mother's maiden name, a nod to her family's candy-making heritage. 2 East Main Street, Old North State Candy and Gifts. And here's a picture of a little machine up there. It's really kind of hard to describe. It kind of looks like it makes one candy at a time. I can't really figure out the machine. It's very unclear. But on the right-hand side, there are a lot of colored balls of candies. I don't know whether they come off that machine or not. Let's see what the text says. Old North State's drop candy in flavors like blue raspberry, huckleberry, and the best-selling sour tangerine is made by rolling molten candy into bubbly-looking sheets before it hardens. The sheets are then dropped, breaking the candy into pieces. And you're supposed to be able to see this on the other page. I guess it's kind of out of focus, so I guess when they say a sheet, they're talking about something that's about 4 inches wide, and I don't know how long it is, and they run it through this roller, which has like half balls on it, and then you drop it, it breaks, and it's got a flat bottom and a roll on the top. So that's how that machine works. The Dairy Chocolate Factory in Raleigh. When Sam Retto and his team roast cacao beans, the Dairy Chocolate Factory smells like brownies baking. Chocolate making begins in the bean corral, where employees hand sort 17 to 20 tons of beans each year. Then they roast, winnow, grind, and refine the beans before tempering and adding sugar and cocoa butter inside the historic Raleigh Depot, where visitors can see and smell the entire process. That transparency is reflected in the name Videri, a Latin word that translates loosely to be seen. from North Carolina's state motto, Essem Quam Videre, or to be rather than to seem. And we see an employee here with a whole bunch of beans in their hand and they're dripping down into a larger barrel. The caption says Videre sources cacao beans from 7 different countries. After the beans arrive, employees sort them by hand, removing twigs and rocks and separating good beans from ones that are broken or flat. And here's a picture of a man looking at the beans coming out on a conveyor belt out of a machine. And he must be doing a quality inspection. By 2010, Sam Ratto got his job sorting and roasting cacao beans and knew immediately that he would spend the rest of his life making chocolate. He opened Videre in 2011, but says that it took about 8 years to understand more about this process than I don't understand. Now, he and his staff lead informal tastings with anywhere from 40 to 100 groups of customers each day, educating them about the nuanced flavors of dark chocolate. This is what chocolate tastes like when it's properly farmed, harvested, and fermented, Ratto tells customers. They might learn to detect notes of fruit or spices, and the tastings allow the staff to get immediate feedback on new creations. We're still learning every day here at West Davy Street. VidereChocolateFactory.com. And there's a picture of some chocolate dripping down from a machine to form cones of chocolate. It says chocolate makers like Sam transform beans into bars while chocolatiers, Videre employees, 3 of them, turn those bars into truffles, peppermint bark, and other goodies. And here's a picture of him in front of one of his machines and the outside of the Videre chocolate factory and some of the goodies close up. Overleaf, how about Tom and Jenny's of Durham? Dr. Jenny Sitinerin, okay, let's get her name right. Sitineni, a dentist, keeps seeing the same patients coming in with cavities from eating too much sugar. So she and her husband, Tom Thekikenden, started experimenting with making sugar-free candies. They tested about 200 batches of gummies, chocolates, and more in their kitchen. The candy that stood out, a soft caramel. The couple worked with Michael Laiskonis, a James Beard Outstanding Pastry Chef, to perfect their recipe. The caramel sold out on QVC in just 12 minutes, and the couple won UNC Carolina's Challenge for Entrepreneurs. But the more everyday moments, Thekikenden says, the more appreciative emails, reviews, or comments from people who just need a little something sweet without the sugar. Those are really the ones that we live for. Tom and Jenny's, that's Y-S at the end, .com. And they're in Durham. And when they wrap their candy, it says Tom and Jenny's, unwrap happiness. Well, we've heard of it before. We've talked about it many times over the years. But it's always nice to revisit the Mast General Store in Valley Cruces. Bullseye, Caramels, Astro Pups, Mellow Cups, Bitter Honey. Kids and adults alike grab old-fashioned and popular candies by the handful and pay by the pound at Mass General Store. This special section of the store, called the Candy Barrel, began in 1982 when the Manzes, who owned the building across the bridge from the original store in Valley Cruces, offered to sell some of Mass' products while the bridge was under construction. The Manzes started the Candy Barrel in what became Mass General Store Annex. In 1997, Mass' owners, John and Fay Cooper, bought the Candy Barrel, ensuring that customers at each of their eventual 11 locations would enjoy a taste of sweet nostalgia. MastGeneralStore.com. 3 pictures here. Caption says, barrels of nostalgic candies await inside the original Mass General Store in Valley Cruces, which opened as Taylor and Moore General Store in the same building in 1883. So here we have a close-up of some of the barrels. The barrels have red and white checkered tablecloths, I guess they are, pressed inside each one of them and hanging over the edge. So you're not dealing with just the raw barrel, whatever it's made of, but there's all kinds of different candies here. I see the bitter honeys. I'm trying to read this one. It says Neckles or something like that. Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with it. I am not. The other candies are all out of focus, so I can't tell you what they say. And here's a picture of, inside one of the stores, probably the original, since we're talking about that one, of the somewhat uneven floorboards, the originals, I'm sure. And then there's a bunch of books that are stacked up on the left-hand side below where the candy is absolutely jammed on the shelves. And there's an old-fashioned fan from the somewhat uneven ceiling up there. And then there's something that looked like little library card files on the right. I guess you open it and take out whatever candies happen to be inside. How about the Carolina Candy Company and Gifts? They're in Wilmington. Carolina Candy Company is a family affair. Kimberly and Charles Smith, a Navy veteran, have been running the business with their daughters, Lauren Rich and Brooke Harrell, since they bought it in 2007. Even the Smith son-in-law pitch in during the busiest times of the year. It's really neat to have everybody's hands in the pot making it work, Rich says. In the store, they sell their handicrafted toffee, gourmet chocolates, and other candies alongside gifts from small family-owned businesses, Rich says. Every item in here has a story just like ours. They're on South Kerr Avenue, Suite B, CarolinaCandy.com. Picture of the three ladies here. Here are some chocolate boxes which are wrapped up with very pretty, somewhat transparent gold ribbon. And then there's a big double page spread at the top, the close-up showing from the sides and the tops of some candies. Let's see what the caption says. Kimberly Smith and her daughters below, we just talked about that picture, are known for their toffee, which has a nice, soft, buttery crunch, Rich says. And here it is, shown from the side. It's a classic coffee color to the toffee, or caramel color to the toffee. And then there's all kinds of little pieces of toffee inside, the candy. And then on top, they've sprinkled it with something that looks like sugar. I don't know whether it's a variation on sugar, but that's what it looks like. And then we have the French Broad Chocolate in Asheville. After dropping out of grad school, Dan Rattigan and Jale Skeffington moved to Costa Rica, bought an abandoned cacao plantation, and started a cafe and dessert shop. In 2006, they moved to Asheville and later opened the French Broad Chocolate Lounge, which serves decadent desserts like bonbons, cakes and cookies, house-made ice cream, and drinking chocolates. All of the sweets use as many local ingredients as possible, including chocolate made in their own factory. The lounge and boutiques on 10 South Pack Square. The factory and cafe are 821 Riverside Drive. The website is FrenchBroadChocolates.com. The caption says, for those who can't make it to downtown Asheville, for dessert at the French Broad Chocolate Lounge, the company offers a bonbon of the month subscription. And here is a very nice white box that says French Broad Chocolate, wrapped in a very nice brown ribbon. And inside are the most perfect chocolates you could ever ask for. They are so smooth and different colors. There's red, there's green, and there is, of course, chocolate, but various shades. And here's one which has two different shades of brown on the top, which is kind of interesting. And then there's some folks eating in the store. I will bet they are not sugar-free. And we have Scotch Bonnet Fudge and Gifts in Frisco. There's something about breathing in the salty ocean air that calls for something sweet. Scotch Bonnet Fudge and Gifts has been satisfying those cravings for more than 60 years. It's 22 flavors of chewy, gooey saltwater taffy and 34 flavors of homemade fudge swirled together, dotted with nuts and cookies, or sandwiched around caramel, coconut, or fruity fillings, made the shop nationally famous when it appeared on Food Network's Food fines. They are on Highway 12, open seasonally. Their website is scotchbonnetfudges.com. There's a picture of the outside of the building here. A lot of yellow fencing and yellow wall with a small sign that says Scotch Bonnet Fudge and a large one that says Scotch Bonnet Marina on a brick building that it's connected to. And there's lots of different signs which tell you how far away the ferry docks are, or Ocracoke, or Hatteras, Avon, Buxton, etc. And inside we see a replica of the Cape Hatteras lighthouse, and a close-up of some of the products that they sell. And there's a picture on the right which has lots of boxes side by side. So it says, named for our state shell, Scotch and Bonnet Fudge and Gifts, is a colorful landmark on Hatteras Island, known for its equally colorful saltwater taffy and creamy fudge and flavors like Divinity Pecan. That was the one that I said was shown on the opposite page. And then we have GGB Candies in Raleigh. Weighing in at a whopping 25 pounds, GGB Candy's largest gummy bear is made for sharing. I would hope so. Founded in 2007, the business evolved from a small chain of candy stores owned by CEO Mike Horowitz's family into a line of giant gummy bears. But they didn't stop at bears. Horowitz counts gummy pizza, gummy hamburgers, gummy pies, and spice gummy bears among his favorite inventions, although he says on any given day it changes. He and his wife and their four kids are all official taste testers, of course, ensuring that each new sweet is bursting with flavor and creativity. You can find them listed at giantgummybears.com, and there's a picture of all of the various flavors that and shapes that I mentioned. Here's one in the shape of a cupcake. This one looks like pumpkin pie with ice cream on top. Here's the one in the shape of the pizza. It's orange, but it has red candies, which look like pepperoni, and some small green, which could, I suppose, be interpreted as peppers. And there's some yellow peppers, too, because there are yellow candies on it. And there's a little green bear over here, and a blue bear, and a red bear, and then the much, much, much larger size. And there's a map on the next page which says, just off Interstate 95 awaits the Great North Carolina Road Trip to Halifax County. And you want to learn more about that, you can go to visit HalifaxCounty.com. Hit the road with Halifax County, it says. They have a visitor bureau at 260 Premier Boulevard in Roanoke Rapids. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen again next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments go to 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.